Let's get to Elliot Friedman. He joins us now from Pebble Beach. It is the National Hockey League's Board of Governors meeting, and Elliot is on the scene and joins us now. Elliot, first of all, before we get to the code of conduct, and that is, you know, the hot point issue in all of this, true or false, teams are told at this one to bring something every year, correct?
Teams are told to bring someone every year?
To bring something, like bring an issue, bring a talking point, bring something to this meeting.
Oh, to this meeting? Yes. I believe it was on Wednesday. It was the same day that the league met with Hakeem Aliyu in Toronto,
right,
that they were told that this is going to be the key agenda issue,
mm-hmm,
and they were expected to bring ideas because, you know, what might work in one market might not work in another. So, yes, that is true, Jeff.
How much of this, Elliot, the impending code of conduct and what it might entail, how much of this is going to completely overtake the entire discussion at the Board of Governors, or are there still other issues that need to be dealt with?
There are still other issues. I mean, this is the one where you get the cap update. This is the first time they kind of give some estimates on what they think they're looking at for next year.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also talk about the World Cup of Hockey because they want to have it in place if they're going to do it next year by at least the All-Star break. And there's always there's a Seattle update too, but there's no question. The number one issue and the thing we're all waiting to hear is going to be this. I mean, this is the first time that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly will speak, and Bettman's going to do it this afternoon since all of this broke. And we're all curious about what he's got to say.
Elliot, what do you think is a likely action plan to come from these meetings? My own guess, I guess, would be just a better way of reporting all these things so that teams don't handle issues internally anymore.
I think that's going to be part of it. No question about it. I think that's going to be one of the first and foremost things is that, you know, God forbid if anything like this ever happens again, that the league is made aware of it. I think that's very high on the list. I think the biggest question right now, Justin, is do we hear them say, look, we've got these things in place right now, or we're listening to everything and we're going to formally announce it maybe at the All-Star break once we make sure we have it all nailed down. I think that is kind of the bigger question, but I think the reporting guidelines are going to be an absolute certainty. I think whistleblower protection is going to be part of it. I think everything's just going to be in writing because, you know, one of the things that happened here is that, you know, there was a dispute over whether or not Peters could be fired or would have to resign. I don't think anybody liked that tug of war. So I think it's going to come down to, hey, if you violate this, this is the punishment. I think it makes everything clear.
Do you think there'll be much discussion or maybe something to come out of it? The idea that there should be a very formalized and very specific way that background checks are handled and how coach interviews are handled by general managers?
That's a question I think we're all going to be asking. I don't know that. I don't know that, Jeff, but I'm sure that is going to come up. But then again, if all this stuff from now on, if anything like this ever happens again, which we all hope it doesn't, if the league is made aware of it, then that might eliminate the problem. But again, I think this is something we're all curious about.
This was texted in from one of the players, and it's a very important topic. Will they be discussing escrow, and has the threshold number been set, or will it be discussed during the meetings?
Well, I think that one gets set, Anthony, every quarter of the year. If I remember correctly, the number at the beginning of the year was either 13.5 or 14, and I believe for the second quarter of the year it was the same. The thing that is going to happen with this is, so the cap this year is 81.5. Earlier in the year, teams were telling me they were thinking if they get a bump next year, it'll be about $2 million, which was the same as it was this year. So they're kind of preparing for 83.5. Now, a new wrinkle has come in, and it was brought up at the GM's meetings in Toronto about a month ago. And what that was is that because next year could have been a lockout slash strike year, there's less players as a whole are getting paid less because everybody tried to keep as much cash out of next year as possible because they were worried there might not be hockey. So you know, the good thing about that is that it means that the escrow shouldn't be as high next season. And one of the things that the player that allows the players to do is every year they have the option of raising the cap up to 5%. There was a long time they did the full 5. They've stopped doing that. Like, more recent numbers have been around 1% because the escrow is high. I think that next year, because the plan is going to be lower because there's less cash in the system, I think the players are going to get a break. But this is all part of the CBA negotiations. And yes, I would assume those would come up today too.
While we're talking about everyone's favorite topic, and that is escrow and the salary cap, how much, Elliot, because we saw this last season and we suspect we'll see this in subsequent seasons as well, because this is the number one issue, as Stewie rightly points out, for a lot of players. We're the only sport where we can't tell you what we earn until the end of the year. And for everyone, it's different. Mm-hmm. How much is the NHL working with the Players Association to address the escrow issue? I would look at this past season's salary cap and say they're already working with them.
No question about it. This is something that has really been seriously on the radar since last season. You know, I wrote a story after the Board of Governors meeting in Vegas, the day of the awards, about how the league and the players were doing a lot of long-term projections about, okay, are you comfortable with the number? Like we said, this year it's about 14%. Where do you want to get it to? Do you want it at 5%? Do you want it at 2%? Do you want it at 0? These are the kinds of things we could be looking at. One of the things that's on the table is that we have short bursts, like $2 million, like I said, mm-hmm. for next year, the year after, and even the first year of Seattle. Even though they're projecting a big burst in revenue for the first year of Seattle, they wait until after the first season before they really bump the cap to keep that number low. This is, you know, Anthony, you know, I'm not surprised the player would text you on that. We all know it's their biggest issue, and I know that they've been working on it for quite some time now. There was even talk last summer that they would set the cap for the next 2 years, this year and next, just to keep that number low, but obviously that didn't happen.
Well, it doesn't affect my pocketbook or my friends, Anthony, so I'm going to bring us back to hockey a little bit. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the potential for a World Cup and where the two sides stand on that, when that could happen. I know the last one was really exciting for a lot of the fans.
Well, what's going on, and Chris Johnston, who's sitting next to me right now, he was one of the guys who's been reporting on the World Cup. The NHL wants to have one of those instead of an All-Star game in 2021, January, February of 2021. And the discussions are underway, and we probably have to know by this year's All-Star game in St. Louis at the latest, and that's in the last week of January. However, the players also want to go to the Olympics, those who love participating in them and those who want the vacation. So, you know, right now they're battling over that too. The league and some of its owners, they don't like the Olympics when they're not in North America because of the travel. And number two, they don't want the cost to come out of their pocket. And that's why they went to Russia, because those ones were paid for. And that's why they didn't go to South Korea, because those ones weren't. And I could see the players saying, you know what, we're not agreeing to a World Cup until we know about the Olympics. That's all part of these negotiations, Justin. So, as you know, in negotiations, you give up one thing, you want to get another. So we'll see where this one goes.
And Elliot, maybe you know the answer to this, or maybe you can whisper the question to CJ sitting next to you right now. Is the Team North America and Team Europe idea, is that dead in the water, or will we see that again?
Well, I'm going to ask the expert right next to me. So Jeff Merrick wants to know, is the Team North America and Team Euro concept still there, or is that gone? That's gone. That's gone.
Do you want to think about it?
All right, so that was quick. The only reason I ask is, and you and I had John Cooper on the on our podcast last year, and we asked him, you know, what he considers to be the you know, his favorite hockey team, and he said Team North America. And he said, listen, when it's all said and done and all those careers are finished, we're going to look back at Team North America and say that may have been the greatest hockey team ever assembled.
That's crazy.
You know, I'm still mad that they didn't play Canada in the semifinal. No, I really wanted that.
Let me ask you an opinion on that, because that game obviously would have been in Toronto. The entire thing was hosted at then ACC, now Scotiabank Arena. What do you think the crowd would have done with that? Team North America was such a cult team and young, exciting hockey players and captivated and captured the imagination of every hockey fan watching the World Cup, but they're playing against the Maple Leaf. What does the crowd do with that in Toronto?
Oh, I think they would have cheered for the North Americans. I do. I think they would have cheered for the kids. People love an underdog.
I think
right?
so,
and it was
too.
A great story.
Fans above 24, I think.
What's that? I think you would have seen that.
24 demographic.
Could have been. What do you expect by way of update on Seattle? It's just business as usual, swimming ahead.
Yeah, business as usual, I would expect. I don't think we'll see too much in terms of that. Just, you know, selling tickets, arena being built. Everything hunky-dory. I'd be surprised if it was anything different than that.
Just looking back to NHL hockey now, I thought you made some interesting commentary over the weekend on Alex Galchenyuk potentially being someone that could be on his way out in Pittsburgh, or at least being on the trade block talked about. Is that still something you think is likely to happen, or just a rumor?
Well, first of all, interesting commentary and me are mutually exclusive, so I really appreciate that.
Interesting reporting?
Yes, interesting. It's okay. That one works. No, I think there's definitely something to it. I mean, if you saw Jim Rutherford's comments this week, and Josh Yeo of The Athletic was the guy who got them, and we should credit him. But, you know, he made it very clear that once they're healthy, Galchenyuk is not one of their 12 top forwards right now. And I've heard now, since I did some looking into it, that moving him is something that has been discussed, I think, for a few weeks now. You know, I heard Buffalo. I heard Buffalo was a team that was interested, not necessarily anything imminent, but as a team that's looking for a forward, I think that makes a lot of sense. So that's one thing there. I haven't really been able to narrow down any other potential destinations. Ottawa had been suggested to me, but I've been led to believe that's not the case. So I think Buffalo was one of the teams that looked, but I don't know of anybody else right now. But I do think that's true, Justin, that they're exploring places he could go.
But Buffalo is an interesting one, Elliot. As I'm sure you're well aware, Casey Mittelstadt was just healthy scratched, and there's a level of frustration there. So that could be the replacement player as Casey Mittelstadt perhaps goes to the American Hockey League. Just sort of speculating what Buffalo may end up doing here.
And we all know that they've got a surplus of D and they're looking for forwards. So, I mean, there's a lot of things from a, you know, a circumstantial evidence point of view there that makes sense. Whether it actually happens, we have to wait and see.
Any update on the Taylor Hall trade market?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think, you know, I think that New Jersey is motivated to try to see if they could get it done quickly. We'll see. You know, CJ reported on Saturday night that he thinks that Colorado is the most likely destination, but not done, obviously. I think a lot of us are kind of expecting that. It makes a lot of sense. They've got a lot of prospects. Their window to win is definitely now. They can make the kind of trade that New Jersey would like to make. I still think there are other teams kicking around. I'm not expecting it to be anything more than a rental at this time. You know, I know Arizona's looked in there. I'm not sure what the possibility of that is. But I do think New Jersey is motivated now, Anthony, to try to get this done if they can.
Arizona, Dallas, St. Louis, tell me when to stop here, Freach.
Well, you know, I think some of these teams have kind of looked at it and said they don't know if they could make it work. Like, New Jersey's wanting to keep money to make the deal better and facilitate it, and that's smart. You know, we had Doug Armstrong on the pregame on Saturday night, and I think Tarasenko's situation could affect what St. Louis is able to do. If he's back in the regular season, that will make it harder on them. And also, like, you know, do these teams have the prospects, or are they willing to give up the prospects / picks that New Jersey wants to do? I mean, it's hard not to look at this and say Colorado. Like, it really isn't. Yeah. It's a perfect match in a lot of ways if Colorado decides that's the player they want. But until it's done, it's not done. I guarantee you, I'll tell you someone else too. You know who I hear is looking for a score? Is the Islanders.
And New Jersey would do a deal with the Islanders?
I don't know, but like, I'll tell you this. It's not like Lou Lamoriello is going to tell us.
That's a fair point. We are heavy on time. Elliot, thank you, and thanks CJ as well for contributing to the interview you just heard. Thanks so much for stopping by, Freach. Enjoy Pebble Beach.
CJ contributed nothing. All right, guys.
Thanks, pal. Elliot Friedman from 31 Thoughts at sportsnet.ca and headlines on Hockey Night in Canada.